Well, welcome everybody to another FatherHeart.tv webcast, and I'm here with my brother and friend John. John, how you doing, my brother?
I'm doing good, thanks, Barry. Good to be with you. A second week running, huh?
Yes, I'll tell you. It's yeah. We had a lot of positive comments from last week, and you know, this whole idea of creativity that in the kingdom that we're talking about. And of course I'm preaching the choir. I mean, we're brothers from the same father, so we have kindred spirits. But just the whole idea of this is something that I think we could, like I said earlier before we came on live, that you know, this is something that could be a series, right, of just being able to help people to unpack what is it mean to, you know, explore our gifts and really go for it and just be ourselves. And
do you know what I like about this, Barry? I mean, you and I met, I don't know how many years ago, in Norway.
Yeah.
But I'd gone along to lead worship at this conference in Norway, and I saw the speaker was Barry Adams, and I thought, well, yeah, it'd be nice to meet Barry. It'd be fantastic to meet Barry. Yeah. And then when we got there, the people who were organizing it, my good friends in Norway, Geir and Ingebjørg, they said, okay, so are you going to speak first, John, or will it be Barry? And I went, what? I thought I was singing and leading worship. And they said, no, you're speaking also. So I let you go first so I could get the feel for things. And then I jumped. It was like tag team. I just jumped on the back of you. But, I mean, that's something important to me, that being creative on your own is quite difficult.
Yeah.
But when you get with other people, you bounce off one another, and I think that's really good. I think that's why God gave us the church, isn't it? So that we could bounce off each other.
And you know what? And the reality is, you know, we are a body, right? And as Paul said in Corinthians, when he said, you know, can the thumb say to the elbow, and I'm just paraphrasing body parts, but I have no need of you, right? And the thing is that we need each other. And I think, you know, we do complement one another, and one of the challenges can be, myself included, is that when, especially when you're in any form of leadership, right, if you're convicted about your own passions, you can be so influencing of those passions that other people hear you, and they think that they need to be, have the same passions as the speaker, right? So if somebody has got an evangelist gifting and they're preaching all the time, you know, oftentimes they draw evangelists to themselves, and they want to raise up a church of evangelists. And it's all good, but, you know, we don't want to have just there's no gathering of a bunch of thumbs that's going to make a body function, right?
And one of the things I'm finding in this, we're doing a lot of Zooms through Christians that I know and meeting, and little fellowships here, little fellowships there. And I'm finding that where a lot of things take place with just a few people in church at the front, you know, you got the preacher, you got the band, you've got, you know, somebody leading or something like that. Now I'm finding that because of Zoom, lots of people are coming forward and sharing. And it's like the everyday people who've got something to say.
Yeah.
And I'm loving that.
Yeah.
It's really precious.
Well, and you know, honestly, I feel like one of the things for me with even in this whole area of online stuff, you know, we've been doing this for over 20 years with the Father's Love Letter, and over, you know, Mark and I have been doing, you know, webcasts for almost 10 years now. And one of the things that I've always been passionate about wondering if the time would come when people would be unleashed in their giftings worldwide, even though they might be working, you know, or taking care of family, if they have any kind of giftings, that somehow they could experience the satisfaction of imparting it, even going to the nations without even leaving your own home. And I think, you know, with the shutdown, if one of the things that comes out of this is just, like you said, like in your Zoom experiences, a permissioning for people who aren't necessarily, you know, full time, it's not their profession or their full time calling, is to be able to have a voice and to be able to have an influence that's really, there's no limitation, you know, it's as far as the internet can take us. And it's not taking us to Mars yet, but, you know, around the world, we're pretty good, right?
Yeah. So it's nice to be catching up with people, and I'm enjoying that. And people who would never speak or never say anything or say, oh, I have nothing to say.
Yeah.
You know, I know you're going to talk a little bit about don't be afraid. You know, yeah. We've each got something within us that, yeah. you know, that God's placed in us.
Right.
It's a question of finding what that is, you know.
Well,
and going with it.
Now, I don't know about you. I'm guessing you would have had the same experience that I've had over the years where, you know, where you're going to pray for somebody during ministry time and, you know, they're trying to find God's plan for their life or whatever. And you just ask them, well, what do you love to do?
Hmm.
And I don't know. There's been so many people that have looked at me and not just, you know, young people, but people who are, you know, senior citizens where they look and they just go like, I've never given myself permission to ask that question.
No.
And so
I remember, my brother's got a terrific memory and I haven't got a huge memory from when I was little, but my mum, who wasn't a Christian, used to take me to the local Methodist church. Mm. And I remember that, or I'm told that when I was four, I did the Harvest Festival and I stood up in front of everybody and sang a song about a little sheep that went astray. And, you know, I sang the first verse and I must have been quivering in my boots because I couldn't remember the second verse. So I sang the first verse again and everybody was very happy with that. The thing is, I haven't changed, Barry. I still forget my words halfway through.
But,
you know, it was there
yeah.
when I was four.
Yeah.
You know, I was in the school play. I was Joseph or somebody when I was 7 or 8. And those seeds are in there. And the other one I remembered recently was my mum used to read me poetry.
Hmm.
She wouldn't read the scripture. She wouldn't pray with me necessarily before I went to bed. But she would read me poetry, a Child's Garden of Verses, which is Robert Louis Stevenson, hmm. you know?
Hmm.
The Scots guy who wrote novels, but actually at Treasure Island, didn't he?
Yeah.
Mum used to read me those poems. And I remember them to this day, hmm. you know? Faster than fairies, faster than witches, hedges and houses, houses and ditches. You know, the runaway train. And I have a little shadow that is... And I think, you know, that plants seeds in us, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Or it waters the seeds that Father's placed in us right at conception and creation, you know.
So. Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that, actually, because Anne and I, my wife, we were on a walk, I think, yesterday, and I don't know why it came up, but I remember when I was 5 years of age... we had a school assembly and, so all of the whole school got together for this program. And, I was supposed to do a solo of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star on my Tori keyboard. I wasn't feeling well and I stayed home, but the teacher called and said, Barry, we need you. Like, you know, and so I took my little keyboard and I went to school and played Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. And, again, same thing, same seeds. And when I was a little boy at 4 or 5 years of age, I used to love making people laugh. And when people asked me at that age, what did I want to be when I grew up? I said, I want to be a comedian. So I think I said Makedian because I couldn't get the name right, but you think about it, you know, and it is, again, it's one of these things that there's these incredible threads of God's destiny and his purpose and his design in us that he just wants to, you know, as Paul said to Timothy, fan into flame the gift of God, you know, and it's so many people because of life experience, because, people maybe don't value that, especially in the creative that, you know, in the creative ways that can't be monetized, right? Or it doesn't give you straight A's in school or whatever. And some of those things are suppressed. But I really believe, like you said, when we were little, right, we had the threads of what God's plan and purpose was. And so
it's really good, I think, to go back to those days. Sometimes, you know, the Holy Spirit takes us back to difficulties that we had in our life when we were youngsters and highlights those so that we can get healing.
Yeah.
But I think there's a real opportunity. I'd encourage people watching this tonight and others just to ask Holy Spirit, show me what it was when I was a child that I used to do, that I used to love, that I used to sometimes when I'm praying for yeah. someone, I see a little child and you're in the playground and you're skipping or you're dancing or and it's, you lose this as you become sophisticated, as you become older. So I think it'd be good to ask Holy Spirit just to take us back to those things. And we're all unique, we're all different. I have two grandsons, and they're completely different. they like different things. Mm. Yeah, there's some things that they like together, but you know, they would go in different directions, you know. Yeah. And so it's good to find out what those are.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah,
so we could pray that at the end.
Absolutely. Well, and I think it's a good segue to read that scripture that I talked about, that I just felt like I just wanted to really declare this over each and every one of us, because this is this is Paul writing. This is the scriptures that talks about God's his opinion of us, and this is from Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 to 10, and I'm reading the New Living Translation, because I just absolutely love how it's expressed. It says, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. And I just love the idea that, you know, do we see ourselves as God's masterpiece? Like, do we actually see ourselves as God sees us? And I think the more, like, for me, I believe that loving ourselves, you know, the great commandment, love God with all your heart, all your mind and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Loving ourselves is just coming to terms with God's opinion of us and his value and agreeing with that and saying, yes, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So, yeah, I just, you know, to me, I just wonder, I believe that every person who has ever been born has been given these good things, these good works, that the Father prepared long ago in advance for us to do in Christ. And it's so the journey of living on planet Earth is about learning to have those unpacked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love, I have a friend in Florida, a Jewish guy, and he's a singer. And he has a hook, and he goes around, he has no arm on here, and he's legs are, you know, and he has these harnesses on his legs, and he has this hook. And his strap line is, I am God's masterpiece.
Wow.
You know. And he's taken something that God gave him, which is a beautiful voice, and he uses that, and he goes around and he sings. And have you seen the Australian guy that goes around giving talks? And he's thalidomide. He's just got these little arms, and he's no legs at all.
Amazing.
And they sit him on a table.
Yeah.
And he just talks to these school kids, and they all cry their eyes out, because he's so inspirational.
Yeah.
Lovely Christian guy. And he's not saying, look what I can't do. Let's focus on, you know, my difficulties, my disabilities. He's actually saying, look what I can do.
Yeah.
You know, and he lives in a house. Now he's married. They've had a baby together, him and his wife.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's that focus on, let's stop doing ourselves down and just go for it, isn't it? You know?
Yeah. It's so interesting, because I remember reading, it's a true story about NASA, in the 60s, and they had this Apollo mission that they had people, their astronauts had a hard time getting home, and so, you know, they had to be very creative in the trying to figure out how they were going to get home. So NASA after that decided, we want to hire creative thinkers, people who think outside of the box. And so they hired a scientist, Dr. George Land, to create a test that would measure creativity in people, because they wanted to have out of the box thinkers. So he designed this test. I don't know exactly, you know, all the components of it, but it was very, very predictive. They got the engineers that they wanted. But Dr. Land said after that, he wondered, you know, cause he was really interested now in creativity, and he wondered, how is creativity nurtured? How do we develop creativity? So he thought, okay, if he went to the young group who chose 5-year-olds, 1,800 5-year-olds in the U.S., and he gave them, I don't know if it was a simplified version of that same test that he gave the engineers, but he gave them the same test to measure creativity. And what he was shocked with was that at the end of the day, that the percentage of 5-year-olds that scored in the creative genius percentile was 98%.
Wow.
98% out of 100%. So we're considered creative geniuses. So he thought, wow, he just didn't expect that. So 5 years later, he tested the same 1,800 children, and now they were 5 years older. And I believe it was the number dropped to, I think, 32% were creative. And then he did it again when they were 5 years later, so they were teenagers, and I think it dropped to in the teens, and like 12%. And I think if memory serves me, he has tested over 300,000 adults over the age of 25, and the average score for being a creative genius was 2%.
Wow.
So his only conclusion...
Well, he didn't speak to me, Barry.
Well, you'd have been in the 2% for sure. But his only conclusion after doing all the studying for years was that creativity is not something you learn, it's something you unlearn.
Wow.
And then the thing is how I loved what he said. He said, everybody can get their creativity back, they just have to think like a five-year-old. So
yes.
I think, you know, there is this journey, you know, that we're all on where we begin to realize how much we're loved by God, and that love sets our hearts at rest, and the love of God gives us permission, I think, to be able to unpack that and explore that and to experiment and test and revisit, you know, like you said, some of the things that have been quashed in our life when we were kids. So
do you think Jesus got it right then when he said that you must change and become a little child?
That's my sweet spot, brother. You know what?
I know it is. That's why I thought I'd be on safe ground.
Absolutely.
Can I read you a poem then? Because I write lots of poems now about children. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
This almost sounds rehearsed, but it's not.
No.
I'll have to switch the light on because I can't see. The sun's gone down and I can't see a thing here, Barry. But I'll switch the light on.
Okay.
Not very, that's better for me. I hope it's all right for you.
Yes, it's great. No,
know.
It looks great.
Right. Okay. This is about a little child. I'd done one of my talks and sharing. I'm a troubadour, so I was singing, I was sharing. I shared one or two poems because I hadn't written many poems at that time. And this lady came up to me at the end. She said, oh, can I tell you a story about my little four-year-old granddaughter? She's just gone to school. And so this is a true story that this lady told me, or I'm assuming it's true. And basically it speaks for itself, but I'll explain it at the end. So it's a short one. Today the teacher told the class that they were going to draw. Remember, she's four. People from their family. Their sister, their brother, their father, their mother, their carer, their guardian or significant other. She pointed out the materials for completing this task called art and handed out the paper, at which point they could start. Lucy, at the young age of four, just stared at the empty sheet for 5 minutes or more, fidgeting and chewing her bottom lip, plucking up courage to go to miss. She walked to the teacher and said, eventually, after what seemed like an age, I'm sorry, miss, I can't draw my dad. He's just too big for this page. I hope I didn't share that last week. I felt I did when I was saying it, but it doesn't matter if people hear it again, does it? And I just thought, you know, children are prophetic without even knowing it, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, that said to me, prophetically, God's too big for us to put him in these boxes, you know? And, you know, I can't draw my dad. He's just too big for this page. He doesn't fit on that page that you've given me. He doesn't fit on this. And it's like these children have imaginations and they're just so big. And I think what you're saying about creativity, it's having partly having our imaginations opened up as well, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You know, so that we can say, and children have that wild, vivid imaginations, don't they?
Yeah. Mm. And, you know, of course, they don't have a problem believing in faraway lands and rocket ships and damsels in distress. And, you know, they can take a couple of spoons and an empty box or a frying pan and they can develop this whole world, right? They have no, it's as we grow and as the world around us starts to say, stop daydreaming or don't, you know, pursue other things. You know, we learn to, I think the closer we are to being little, I feel that we are more connected to our heart. But the older that we get, the more that we become, even in the school systems, which they mean well, of course, but they can teach us how to begin to learn to live from our head and from our intellect. But can you share?
I think what you're saying there about this, my wife is an amazing cook.
Yeah.
You know, I hope she's listening to this, and I'm very happy to say it to anybody who's ever willing to listen. And she's an amazing cook. She grew up on a farm, and she was really interested in all, when her mum made meals, her mum would make meals for like 15 people on a very regular basis. It was like Sunday lunch nearly every day. Mm. And with all the people that worked on the farm. And Chris picked up this stuff. And when she was at grammar school, the high school, you know, when she was there, she wanted to do home economics. She wanted to do cookery.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't let her. They said she had to do Latin. And she had to do, you know, these things that they laid down that it was necessary that you do because it was a grammar school.
Mm.
And so that was, in some ways, it was just squashed in her from that time. She couldn't follow it through. And then sometime later when she was going to go and work, the opportunity came for her. Somebody said, oh, Chris, we like your cakes. I'm having a 50th birthday party. Do you mind making me some cakes? And she did this and made a buffet, and then it took off from there. And over 10 years, she built up a business.
Wow.
You know, and it was in her heart.
Yeah.
It was in her, but it had been squashed.
Mm.
And now she just, also her dad was a market gardener and on the farm, but he had to go into the cows, but his heart was gardening.
Mm.
And you would always find him, he was a rum turkey, was Jeff. He'd put his underpants on and he'd cover his body in olive oil and go out in the sun. And he was just a crazy guy.
Yeah.
But he was out there in the garden. And Chris has got that too. So she's got a lovely garden up at the farm now where my son now lives.
Yeah.
And she's just so... People will give Chris a plant and say, oh, I can't do anything with that. She's just dead. And Chris will take it, plant it. 2 days later, it's absolutely flourishing. Talk about having green fingers. And so... she's doing a lot of gardening now and doing a lot of what's in her heart.
Yeah.
And what I want to say is here, we benefit from, not only from God's blessings to us, and how God's blessed us in so many different ways, but we benefit from each other, don't we?
Absolutely. Well, we are, in a sense, gifts to one another.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. Now, you had meant, when we were talking a little bit, you had mentioned about the heart, because you mentioned with Chris that it was in her heart, but this whole area of our hearts, right, the love of God is poured into our hearts, and it's out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. You know, it's this realm of the heart that I really believe the Father wants to set us free, right? So we can find greater expression. Can you talk a little bit more about that and how creativity unlocks that?
Yeah, I mean, most of my songs and most of my poetry come from a heart. They can't do anything else, really. I find that I struggle really to fashion things. I know some people, you could learn how to make something. You could learn the skill of how to put words together and how to get assonance and resonance and all this sort of stuff. But I find that really, for me, it's the thing of the heart that really opens me up.
Mm.
That if something's touched me, you know, I wrote a poem. I was in the Netherlands.
Mm.
And I go to this mega church, and they'd asked me to go and sing.
Mm.
So I took my stuff along, and they were organized for me to go and sing. And I was going to sing. They said, oh, can you do two songs during the communion?
Mm.
And so I said, yeah, I can do that. So the communion came. And what happened in the communion was everybody came up and sort of, they'd not seen each other all week. So they just talked in a long line all the way to communion and just totally ignored me singing my little song. So I could have been affronted, but I really wasn't. I was absolutely fine because, you know, it says if you're going to do something, do it as unto the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a question of getting the accolades of people. I really don't seek that.
Mm.
I'm grateful when people say thank you and we enjoyed that or whatever, but it really wasn't necessary.
Mm.
But they said, it's going on longer than we thought. So can you sing another one? And I said, yeah. So I started to sing this, you are more beautiful. And Solomon, More precious than is gold. You know the one? Yeah? You're beautiful. And this little girl, about 9, 10 years old, and I love 9, 10 year olds. I always used to teach that age group. And she came and sat on the edge of the stage, and she was swinging her feet. And she was swaying like this. And she didn't know the words. She was Dutch, and she had never heard the song before. And she had this beaming smile on her face. I thought, well, if nobody else is listening, I'll go and sit with her. But there were a few people listening. That was okay. But I went and sat with her, and I just felt this was a real heart moment where Father God had just sent something precious to me. And I went and sat with her, and we did the song, and in the middle of it says, look at the mountains. So we did this. Look at the trees. Look at the birds of the air. Feel the breeze. Look at the oceans. Fathom the seas. You're more beautiful. And I pointed to it, because she pointed to me. You're more beautiful to me. Wow. And then we sang Beautiful. And, you know, I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that, because my Heavenly Father knows what touches my heart. And so, you know, I pick up all these stories. They're little treasures, really, to put in the treasure box. If I write a poem, that's fine. But basically, it's for me to remember. And, you know, I will remember that. Do you want another one?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, so again, I'm in the Netherlands. It's a wonderful place for me, the Netherlands. I love my Netherlands Dutch friends. And I was in a creative conference for Roman Catholics, and James Jordan was there. And when everything had finished, I was in where they were selling the icons and the books, and we were selling the CDs. And I'm just stood with my wife. Chris managed to come with me on this occasion. I'm just stood with my wife. And about 20 yards away, I see this little child. And she's like walking towards me. And I mean, I don't know who she is. She's a little toddler. She's just learned to walk. So she says, I'm off. And she was heading for me. And her eyes were fixed on me. And she's walking towards me. I nudged my wife and said, what's going on here? And she's just staring at me, walking to me. And she's saying some words in Dutch. I didn't understand. I didn't know what it was. And she got right in front of me. And so I did what you do with little ones. You don't stand looking down at them. You bend your knees and you get down to their level. Yeah. And I looked at her, and she just put her arms around my neck.
Oh, boy.
She didn't know me from Barry Adams. You know? She just put her arms around my neck, and I picked her up, and I thought, what do I do with this? Like, you know, and I held her, and she just Google-eyed me and everything. And so I said, oh, go to my wife. And I said, Chris, you have a hold. So she had a hold, and all the time she was with Chris, she was like this, looking at me.
Wow.
So I realized then, I got a bit of a feel that this was Father sending someone to me. Another little child.
Yeah.
And so I put her down, and I don't even know whether her mum and dad were there or whatever, but I don't remember what happened. I was just in a fog then.
Yeah.
And you know what? I asked somebody, what was she saying? Because she was saying some words, and I said, I don't understand it. So I asked a Dutch person, what was she saying? And I said in rough Dutch what she was saying. And they said, oh, you don't know what that means. I said, no, no. Well, we'll tell you what it means. Come to Daddy.
Oh, man. Wow.
Now, that's the heart. That touches your heart, and you never forget it.
Wow.
And so, you know, for me, my creativity, writing a song, or I wrote a poem about that, you know, again, I wrote it down as a story. I don't need notes to tell that story. It's in my heart. Yeah. And God, my Father came to me and touched my heart with that story, with that encounter. And basically, it was an encounter where he spoke to me.
Wow.
You know? And so I think, yeah, I agree with James Jordan. He actually says, James, doesn't he? He says, go and do something that will open up your heart. Wow. Go and do paragliding. Or go and do some walking up mountains, which is what James always says, doesn't it? You know, well, what's going to open up and what's going to touch your heart? Recently, I just bought, with my grandkids, I bought a canoe. It's a three-seater canoe. It's inflatable. Inflatable. And I can, you know, we can go to a lake. We can set off to a lake, and that's something I'd love to do. So, actually, without the grandchildren, I just love to go up the water because it's so silent.
Yeah.
You can just be on the ground. You can see the wildlife and all the rest of it. So, I think what James was saying, and I totally agree with him, was get out there,
yeah,
or get in there, or go to where your heart... Listen to some music. I played some music last night, and I'll shut up in a minute, Brad.
No,
I played
good.
Some music last night. It was one of our ex-youth group, who's now about 25, 26, married now, and they're not in the youth group, but they keep in touch, and it's lovely that they do. He is an amazing cinematographer.
Mm.
He's going places. And he's an amazing musician. He's just done two albums.
Yeah.
And I just sat listening, and just tears came to my eyes as I listened to this album. I bathed in his gift.
Wow.
And the music opened my heart to receive from my Heavenly Father. So I think for me, I'm not saying it's the same for everybody. Some people are very good at crafting things. They're very skillful with music, and they, you know, somebody like Don Potter can just sit down and his guitar playing is out of this world. I have to work at it a bit, but if, you know what, if it's touched my heart, it just comes out.
Yeah, and I, you know, I couldn't agree more. And I think one of the challenges that we all face in the area of creativity, I think is where we try to put a value on it that's based on number of views or clicks or shares or somebody affirms it, right? And so I know in my own journey, you know, and of course I'm a numbers guy. I'm not an accountant like Mark, but I love, you know, the stats and the, you know, all those things. But I think it's one of the things that can, I think can sidetrack us and cause us even to be afraid. And hide our talent is the fact when we just make that assumption that any gift that we have has to kind of compete with other gifts and try to be quantified in some way. And, you know, you told the story last week about, you know, Matt Redman and the worship leader said that I've got this great talent, and you may want to share that again, but if anybody hadn't heard it, but because it's just, I think there is this challenge that we have, or this perception that isn't true, that it has to be validated by, you know, going to the masses, right? And I think God wants to free us from that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, the story you mentioned there was the girl who went to Matt Redman and said, you know, I've got this gift. And he went, but why am I not selling albums, or why is nothing happening for me? And he came back to her the next day and said, well, I spoke to God about it, and I think I know why he gave you the gift. Like, he thought you might enjoy it, you know.
Yeah.
He thought you might enjoy it. There's a word intrinsic, and it means just enjoying it for enjoying its sake.
Yeah.
You know, we can enjoy what we're good at and what we're gifted at and just go with the flow. I must admit, part of my creativity is not just like the numbers you say, but is organizing things.
Mm.
So if I get, because I was doing that when I was a teacher, and also, putting things together and trying to make them look good, you know? So I'll write a poem, but then I'll mess about with it and put it in a booklet and decorate it and make it look decent, make it look nice. Because that's part of my creativity as well, to make something look good, to make something nice, to make something beautiful, to organize it and to, you know, I always used to have timetables, this, that, and the other, and, you know, I was a big organizer and I had to do that in my job.
Yeah.
So that's part of me as well. So I don't decry getting hold of stuff and putting it together. And, you know, that's part of it for me.
Yeah.
You're not just doing the speaking and, you know, doing the TV and bringing people together. And you're not just doing that, but you've created a studio.
Hmm.
It's the whole package, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. One of the things, and I think I shared this with you just in one of our conversations, but it really brought home this whole sense of the intimacy and the joy of the simplicity of spending time with Dad and expressing our love for him. And again, it had to do with all of this crazy stuff that I involve myself with. And recently, you know, I created like over 100 background videos, you know, and you see some of them at the beginning and the end of these webcasts. And they took quite a bit of work to do these things. And, you know, and again, the left brain side of me says, like, how do I quantify this? How do I value this? Why did I spend all this time doing it? And so I was in one of those moments with Papa just saying, you know, why am I crazy? Did I spend all this time doing this? And I don't know what it's for. At the same time I was doing it, my wife, we have 3 grandchildren, and for every one of our grandchildren, she made this Christmas tree ornament right from scratch. It's a beautiful heart. It's all embroidered with their name and their date of birth. And it takes her days to do one of these. So here I am trying to quantify the value. You know, did this make sense? Why did I spend all this time? And my wife's downstairs days on end, just for love's sake, she's creating this one Christmas ornament that'll be with her grandchildren for life. And so when I was asking the Lord about it, he said, take a look at what Anne's doing. Why is she doing that Christmas ornament? Why is she spending so much time? Is she going to sell it? Is she going to market it? Are thousands of people going to see it? No. It's simply for love's sake.
A love thing. Yeah.
And he said, that's what you're doing for me. You're just expressing you to me in what you're doing, and don't try to make it more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have this thing about, you know, with parents when their little one takes his or her first steps, you know. They stand there and they've been waiting for a while. Is it 10 months? Is it 9 months? Is it 12 months? And they're looking for the occasion, and then they wish they hadn't encouraged their child, because then they're off. And, you know, it's very difficult to keep tabs on them then. We keep falling over and banging their heads and everything. So, but those first steps, the parents are there, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're encouraging these first steps. And basically the child does, you know, walking. I don't know whether you've realized, Barry, but walking is continuous falling over.
I never knew that.
It is. Because basically you overbalance and then you put your foot down to stop you falling over.
Oh, wow. That explains
a
lot.
So that's walking. So most of my life of walking in the Spirit has been like that.
Wow.
So that's walking. But you overbalance and you put your foot down to stop yourself falling over.
Yeah.
But a little child just does that once and then falls over. And you know what? The parents are going, wow, did you see that? And like anybody who's not their parent go, yeah, I saw them fall over. This isn't, and the Pharisees would be going, excuse me, that's not how you walk. This is how you walk. Watch us. You know, the religious Pharisees would be saying that. But the parents absolutely love it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a love thing, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's a love thing. And they're encouraging the child, and then they say, come on. And they put their arms out and whatever. I just feel Father's like that with us. You know, he's encouraging us all the way. And he loves the little steps, the big steps, whatever we do.
Yeah.
You know, that give him glory.
Yeah.
And, you know, glory is actually reflecting who he is in us, isn't it? I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we go from glory to glory.
Absolutely. And I think I would encourage people, if you struggle with this, is just to ask the Father to show you how he sees you. Like, he's the Ancient of Days. And, you know, I'm going to be 60 this year, you know, so I'm getting up there, but he's been around forever. And when I see, you know, our oldest daughter is 35. She has 3 children. But when I see her in my heart as a father, I see her as a 6-month-old little baby in a red velvet dress. That is my absolute favorite picture of her. Even though she's grown up and she's matured and has children herself, like, there's something of a father's heart in me that when I see her, or all 3 of our kids, I see the grown up, but I so treasure the little them. And I really believe, like you're saying with this, when you think about how the Father sees us, of course on the outside we're all grown up and all those things, but there's a part of us that he sees that's still little. And, you know, he's going like, you can do it. You know, and he's just, like we cheer on our little grandchildren when they're just learning to walk, right? He's the same with us. He's, I believe in you. You can do it. And do we have ears to hear that? You know, he said to Israel in Isaiah 46, he said, I am he who, even from the moment you were conceived, I have carried you, I have sustained you, and I will rescue you even to your gray hairs. I am he who has carried you, and I will sustain you. And so from the Father's perspective, he's been carrying us our entire life. Whether we're aware of it or not, you know, is another story. But I really believe in this area of creativity. You know, he just loves it. He just loves to see his kids just find expression. Because if we do what we love to do, then there's this satisfaction that comes, doesn't it?
I noticed that Isabel Allen, my friend, sent a thing on Facebook and said, that this was going to be happening tonight. And I just have so benefited from her gifting in the prophetic, you know. And, you know, when you find something that you love doing and that you're good at and that is you just made to do, you know, like, she would prophesy. When she came down to church, there would be, say, 40 or 50 or 60 people who'd come along. And she would just start, and she'd go on till 10, 11 o'clock, half 11, something like that, until everybody was done. And I thought, well, how does she do that for 3 hours after a preach and 4 hours? But it's just so much in her. It's just so much who she is.
Yeah.
And so many people have benefited from Isabel over the years. And I bless her. I don't know whether she's here tonight, but I bless her and I honor her and I love her. And she's amazing. And over the years, she's given me 5 prophecies. And they're just so much part of my life as well. And part of the prophecies were about creativity, about the music and that. But it's not just the music. It's not just the poems or whatever. You know, I like to be creative in the way that I preach or that I teach. You know, and I know you do the same, Barry. So I'll take stories. And you know, I was in Norway this time, and I got this amazing message from God, because I said, I'm going to speak to 200 young people tonight, Lord. So, Father, what do you want me to say? And he gave me the scripture. He says, you know this scripture, John? It's the scripture where it says, a man found a treasure in a field. So he wanted the treasure, yeah? So he went and sold everything that he had so that he could buy the field so that he would have the treasure. And I said, oh, yeah, I know that story, Father. And I went and read it in the scripture. And I said, so, yeah, that's good, but what do you want me to say? And so I started going through the things that I might say about that parable. And then he stopped me in my tracks. My Heavenly Father stopped me in my tracks. And he said, okay, John, listen to me. You are my treasure.
Wow.
And I gave everything I had in my son, so that I could get you. You know, now I've found out since that other people have seen that, learned people have seen it or whatever, but, you know, it wasn't through me studying the scriptures. This was revelation.
Yeah.
Apparently the word for discovery and revelation is apocalypsis. This was an apocalyptic moment for me. When I heard that my Heavenly Father just said that this was so personal, it was so precious, it was so beautiful. And you know what I did? When I went to preach then, I went to share that with people. And part of my teaching, part of my sharing was to say, you know what? You're his treasure. And he gave everything. He gave everything. He gave his only son.
Yeah.
So that he could get you. Now, you know, I could grapple with what is the gospel, you know, and all this, that, and the other. To me, that's the gospel. That's good news.
Yeah.
That I'm his treasure. Now, in that same bit, there's a thing called there's a story called The Pearl of Great Price, where a merchant comes in search of the pearl of great price, and he finds it, yeah? And I just got this picture, I'm talking about a bit of creativity. I just got this picture before I went preaching one day to take pearls to everybody.
Wow.
So my wife and I went round the second-hand shops, you know? Because when old ladies die, they leave pearls and they send them to the cancer research or whatever, and these shops get them. And you can get some really nice pearls in these places. So we went and then we undid the pearls and put them in a box and I took it into this place. And I just, I got a sense from the Lord, and to me this was part of wanting to be creative with the message and not wanting to be Holy Spirit inspired with the message, not just tell the story. And so people came to me and I said, would you know, if you wish, why don't you just put out your hand and I'm going to put a pearl in your hand and we're going to close We're going to close your hand up and I'm just going to speak words of affirmation to you that you are the pearl of great price.
Yeah.
You are God's precious pearl, and he holds you in the palm of his hand, and you are precious to him. Now, I hope some of the people that we gave pearls to actually still have them, wherever they got them, just to remind them each day that they're the pearl of great price.
Yeah. Absolutely.
They're God's treasure. And so, not just, I believe that, you know, for me, creativity is also being inspired by the Holy Spirit to present the gospel, to present the good news, present how loved people are in a way that, I don't know, Peter Jackson does this. He's awesome at doing this. And I love listening to Peter and the way he says things.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, he just encapsulates the whole of the gospel in like half a sentence. And I go, whoa.
Yeah.
Well, we love you, Peter, if you're there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And, big hugs, Pete. Yeah, and you know, I think that's the thing is, and we know this about our Heavenly Father, right? We know that he is creative. He's creator. He's never made the same thing twice. Every blade of grass, every strand of DNA is a one-off original. And we have been created in the image of the creator. And so he has created us to find expression and delight and joy in creating. Like he could have made one blade of grass. If, you know, maybe it would have probably been a lot easier and then just cloned it. And said, okay, every great blade of grass has done one butterfly, you know, one cow. But he doesn't. Every one is a masterpiece. And I really believe that the Father wants to encourage anybody who's listening to this. And you know, I'm speaking to myself, too, that, like it's like he's saying, go, run, explore. Just, and you know, not even with any kind of purpose other than for joy's sake, you know. And there was an early church father, Irenaeus, who said that the glory of God is man fully alive.
Wow.
And I just believe even today when we're in this webcast that the Father wants his kids to be alive. He just wants to set us free from the things that hinder us, from the woundings that we've experienced in life that have stolen the creativity away from us, from judgments, from comparisons, from an orphan world system that devalues things that God absolutely loves. You know, when you think about your grandies, you know, when our grandies come with whatever they draw on a piece of paper, it's the best. Grandma and Grandpa, it is absolutely the best possible gift we could experience, you know, and it's such a delight. It's not like, could you imagine if our grandchildren were saying, well, you know, Susie down the road did a better drawing, or, you know, I don't know if mine
did. They do say that.
Well, I think they do, unfortunately. But I just believe that, like, I know for me, and this is something John and you and I talked about, and I think we've had similar experiences, but one of the things that happens to me, I'm in my office, I'm in this little dome of creativity, and I create things. I've created a lot of stuff over the years. Not all of it has been, you know, popular at all. It just, probably most of it hasn't actually. But when I create it in this safety, I feel God's presence, I feel his joy, I feel his pleasure when I'm doing it. But then, if it's something that I'm going to share on social media, and so when I upload something and I perform, when I click that send or upload, it's like,
do people like it? Is that what you're
saying? And then you get afraid, thinking like, what are people going to think? Are they going to misunderstand what I did? Or are they going to like it? Or are they going to ignore it? And then it gets, it leaves that place of safety and love and joy, and it, you know, goes into this other realm of comparison and all those things. And I don't know, you know, because we live, especially in this world with the internet and so much comparison over the years, I just believe the Father wants to set us free from all of that comparison.
Yeah.
And he just wants us to do it for the love of doing it. You know, how I liken a lot of what I do now is, it's like, I'm a 2-year-old. And my dad and I are going to the garage, and we're going to rebuild an engine. He's going to rebuild the engine, but he's going to make me feel like I'm rebuilding it with him. And it's for the joy of creating the time together. And that's it. And it's not having to be quantified or measured or qualified. And So, you know, I just encourage anybody out there that if you struggle with this stuff, or if you've been hurt by this, if you've had people, say damaging words to you, that the Father, I just believe the Father wants to bring healing to you. And just any kind of that sensitivity. The creative in us is very sensitive. It is the most vulnerable thing I know, for me personally, to be able to share something that comes from my heart. And then when it is displayed, but that's where, you know, it takes courage. It can risk doing that. But I just believe the Father wants to bring healing to any areas in our hearts that would just cause us to shut that down. Yeah,
I share an experience of when I was down in Gainsborough with Sue Wittick and my friends down there, Dina and David Haywood. And I have a friend down there called Diane. And many years ago now, about 10 years ago, I was singing my song, I Delight in You. You know the one? Oh, I delight in you. I sing over you with dancing. And she was sitting there, and you know when I sing that song, I close my eyes and I see a dancer. And there's a lot of strings in the backing. And I opened my eyes, and I saw that this lady, Diane, I didn't know her, she'd gone to the entrance to the church, and she was dancing very beautifully. Wow. And it was the dance that I see.
Wow.
And so I kept my eyes open, and so she danced. And then at the end, at some point, I went to her and I said, hey, that was beautiful. And I told her the story I've just said to you in that way. And she said, I said, are you a teacher? Are you, you know, where did you train? And you're clearly a good dancer. She said, well, yeah, I used to dance, but I gave up 8 years ago. And it was basically some words were said to her that shut her down. She was rejected. And she closed up her heart to doing it. She closed up her heart to dancing. And she said that was 8 years ago. And today when you sang that song, and Father said that he delights in me. And will you dance for me? And will you sing for me? And will you let me see my hope in you? And will you dance for me? And will you let me see myself in you? Because we're a reflection of who he is. And she said, and I was sitting there, and I felt his hand come down, and I reached up my hand, and Father put his hand into my hand, and he took me out of my seat and took me to the front of the church building. And he twirled me.
Wow.
And I started to dance. And the first time I've danced in 8 years. And she was set free.
Wow.
She was set free to dance again. So she was set free through a song. Through a song that had touched my heart, that came from the Father and came out of me, from the Father to her, to release her and to bring healing.
Wow.
And I get that sense as you were speaking before about, you know, perhaps some people need to, and dance is just a word for cooking or gardening or, you know, walking or painting or whatever it is, you know, telling jokes, playing with the grandchildren, sorting the flowers out, you know, whatever. It's time for some people, after feeling blocked in or rejected or words that or they didn't feel good enough, it's time for you to reach up and let Father take your hand and lift you up and pull you up and take you into the dance.
Wow.
Like I say, the dance doesn't mean a dance. It means who you're meant to be.
Yeah.
So perhaps, I don't know, as we pray a little later, if people where they are could just lift their hands and lift a hand and let them sense Father putting his hand in their hand. And you know, if they feel cowed or squeezed in or squashed, you know, that he pulls you out of that and pulls you free and to express who you are and who you're meant to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, why don't we just pray now, John? Would you just lead us in a prayer for that? And
Thank you, Father. Thank you that you long to set us free. Thank you that you long to take us by the hand and lift us out of rejection. Lift us out of hopelessness. Lift us out of words that have been said against us and where we've been squashed and squeezed and closed in. Thank you, Father, that you want to bring us to a spacious place. You want to take us from our place of imprisonment to our place of confinement, our place of being closed in, and of dereliction, as it says in Job 36 and 16. Father, you want to take us out of that, and you want to bring us to a spacious place, a place to explore, a place to be free. And we just think of little children in a spacious place. Wow! We go running round, and we become aeroplanes. We start sliding all over the floor. So, Father, would you bring release to people who've been locked up and closed in, either by things that have been said to them or happened to them, or even by things within themselves that say, oh, I'm not good enough, I can't do this. I never amount to anything in this area. There are so many people who are so much better than me. And, Father, would you draw them out of that? Would you take them by the hand, Father? And would you lead them out of that? Would you lift them up? And bring them out into the dance to express and to be free. Father, would you do that today?
Wow. Father, we know that perfect love casts out all fear. Wow. So would your love come? Father, would your love come to every area in our heart that has been damaged, that has been wounded, that the creativity that you have given us, that you determined you gave us from before the creation of the world. Father, that our birthright, all the things that you dreamed for us to do would just be restored now in Jesus' name. Father, would we be able to dream impossible dreams again, to be able to not be led by a self-consciousness where we measure and try to quantify and value everything that we do. But Father, would you just help us all to return to the simplicity of just being who you created us to be for love's sake? And Father, would you just help us to just the awareness of the joy that you get when we just are joyful in the things that we are doing. And Lord, any kind of world system measurement or value system, Father, that is not of the kingdom, Father, we pray that we would be right side up where the kingdom would be in full display in our lives. And Father, whether that's having a nap, whether it's playing with our grandchildren, whether it's painting or dancing or boldly going to the nations, whatever you have called us to do, Father, we just pray for the simplicity of heart to say, yes, Papa. Well, just draw out of us, Father. Just draw. You lead us with cords of kindness. And just draw out of us everything that we are, that we... any element of shame that has kept us just suppressed, Father. Yeah, just tell us who we are again.
I just got that word comparison. So, Father, would you take away comparison, whereby we compare ourselves with others, whereby we compare our gifting with other people's giftings, and we think we're not up to it. Just take away any comparison like that, and let us just enjoy moving in the gifts that you've given us, Father. And thank you that so many people are using this time of, as they say, lockdown. And Lord, you know, we're not isolated because you live in us.
Yeah.
So if we're in our home and we feel isolated, we're not, because you live in us.
Yes, Lord.
And Scripture says you will be a father to us, and we will be your sons and daughters, and you live in us and you walk among us. Mm. So wherever we are, even if we're just stuck at home and stuck in our house, you are there with us, and we thank you. So, Father, would you use this time to draw out of us the things that we've got time to do and space to do?
Yeah.
To make a card for somebody down the road, to phone somebody down the road and have a conversation.
to just enjoy your creation and say hi to people on the way around. Whatever, Lord. Mm. Whatever, Father. But no comparisons. Mm. Thank you.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you have never made the same thing twice. Wow. And each one of us are a one-off original, a masterpiece in your eyes.
Yeah, Lord, thank you.
Help us to see that, Father. Wow. Help us to agree with your opinion of us. Help us to...
Yes.
Just embrace... that we are loved beyond imagination, and that would set our heart at rest, set our hearts to be free. Wow.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, Dad. Wow, amen. Oh my gosh. That was church.
That was fun, Barry.
Thank
you,
man.
Once again.
Oh, my brother, thank you so much. Kindred spirits, eh?
Absolutely, my brother, yeah. That's how I feel, too. And you keep doing this, bro. And, you know, I'd love to join you again sometime. You and Barry, I'd love to join you again sometime on a different topic. And we'll work out a way for me to perhaps sing a little.
Yeah.
And, you know, without the sound being awful, because I understand that it sometimes goes a bit weird on Skype, doesn't it?
Yeah. Mm. But it's awesome, mate, and we'll do this again for sure. And I went out of focus. I can't get back into focus.
Yeah, I thought it was my eyes, actually.
Oh, actually, it was your eyes. And anybody who's watching, it was your eyes. Yeah, that's just a limitation with my camera. But yeah, we'll do this again, mate. This is such a, I think this lockdown has been, this is a blessing to have this kind of come out of that, right? So let's keep on dreaming, and I think there's more in this whole creative thing still that we can share too, if you're up for it, mate. So that's awesome. Yeah. And I want to encourage everybody, to, and at the end I'll put on John's website, but again, John is, you know, he's just a little boy with a big dad. He's a consummate creator. He's got so many expressions of, just his dad in music and in writing. And so johnnuttall.eu, and I will put that up at the end. But go visit his site, enjoy it. And before we go, John, the book of poetry, do you know when that's going to be out yet, or...?
I don't. It's gone off now. It's finished. Everything's done. And it's going off to Amazon. And it's going on, you know, I'm just going to get proofs of the book so that I can see it and say that I'm happy with it.
Yes.
So it could be a month, possibly 6 weeks down the line.
Okay.
And,
But it'll be great. But there's all kinds of other things. So visit his website. And, thanks so much, my brother. Bless you and Chris. And until
bless
we do
you.
This again.
Bless everybody who's here. I'm sorry I couldn't see who was here, but you know, I'm sure there are many people that I know out there. And bless you, love you, miss you. And thanks, Barry.
All right, bless you guys. See ya.